Next month, we'll be doing a sermon series called What If? And the premise of the series next month will be, what if we actually lived out the spiritual principles that Jesus was teaching? And so my question this morning, as we're singing that song, you're the breath in our lungs. You're what we're singing there is you're the reason I'm here. You're the reason I'm taking this next breath. And because of that, you alone will get my praise. What if we actually live that way? Not just saying those lyrics on a Sunday morning, but just what if that was our life's cry? Amen. That every breath that I take is to bring the great God that I serve praise and glory and honor. Speaking of next month, this month we're continuing our sermon series, Redeeming Love. But the idea of redemption is the theme for the whole year, of us engaging in the broken world we live in because of the work of the cross. And so next month, we're going to be doing something a little different in that we're partnering with a ministry out of Lake Charles. And this ministry will come and set up different displays to bring awareness to us about the kids in our community, in our backyard, who are homeless, who are orphans in our foster care system. See, James says it this way in chapter 1, verse 27. He says, pure religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for the orphans and widows in their distress. Do we do that? Do we do that? See, it's easy to sing songs like what we just sang. It's your breath in my lungs. But are we so caught up in ourselves? Are we so caught up in our own plans, in our own desires, in our own pursuits, that we're ignoring the brokenness in our own backyard? Do we pray for these kids? Do we engage in the brokenness? And so in this work of redemption, guys, it's uncomfortable. You can hear a pin drop right now. Because it's uncomfortable. It's messy. It's not this cookie cutter, you know, social club church that has been invented. It means getting outside of this box that we've created. Outside of this comfort that we've created in our minds, our ideologies of what church should feel like and what church should look like, and going where the brokenness is, because that is what our Lord and Savior did. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 7. And we're going to read a story about just that. And we're going to see three different people in this story. And so in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 36, this is what it says. It says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. So basically in this time, so Jesus is doing his ministry. And in this time, a Pharisee or a religious leader, it was the custom for them to invite the rabbi to his home. So this Pharisee, Simon, he did that. He invited him to his home and they had this banquet and they had this going on, you know. And in this time, understand, it wasn't the outsiders, the sinful people. They hung around kind of on the outside, kind of hoping to get some of the leftover food because the rich was really rich and the poor was very poor. And so they were just hanging out, you know, maybe trying to eavesdrop and see somebody important, maybe just getting some food. But whatever it was, during these times, the outsiders would kind of hang out. In verse 37, it said, when a certain immoral woman from that city heard Jesus was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet weeping. Her tears fell on his feet and she wiped them with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Then he answered his thoughts. Now don't miss that. This guy didn't say it out loud to Jesus. He thought it. And Jesus responded to him. Jesus responded to his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. See, at this point, Simon's cool, right? Because he's like, man, I was just thinking that. And so he turns to him and says, hey, Simon, I have something to say. Okay, what you got? Then Jesus told him a story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 to the other. But neither man could repay him, so he kindly forgave both of them, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon. Don't miss this. So he's looking, he's talking to Simon, then he turns to the woman, but he's still talking to Simon, right? He's still talking to Simon. He says, look at this woman kneeling. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust off my feet, but she washed them with her tears and wiped their hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has been anointing my feet with her rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and there are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love, but a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man? So they finally had enough of this. And they said, who is this man that he's going around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for this day. We praise you for your word. God, we praise you for who you are. God, I just pray that your word will penetrate the depths of our hearts this morning. Father God, in that we will quit, God, living this life, this Christian life, in this box that we've created. But Father, we will pursue you with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Father, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this woman goes to this Pharisee's house, right? And she had to have known that she was going to get the looks. She had to have known that she was going to, because they say that she was a sinner. Chances are, we don't know for sure, but chances are she was a woman of the street, right? She was a prostitute. And so she had this reputation. She was looked down on, you know, and so she comes into the house of this Pharisee who she would have never, ever in a million years been invited to. The house of this religious leader who had it all together. Who had the appearance. Who looked the part. Who had it all together. And Jesus is eating at this guy's home, right? And he comes. And for some reason, Simon the Pharisee just wasn't into it. Maybe he had heard Jesus' teachings or whatever, but for some reason, he didn't greet him. You know, in our day, if somebody comes over to our house, we're at least going to shake their hand. And that day, they either kissed him on the cheek or the hand, but he didn't do either one of those. In that day, you know, they walked around in the desert with sandals. So, you know, they washed their feet. They didn't do it. Simon didn't even offer him water to wash his feet. So none of that was happening. Other customs like the olive oil, none of that was happening. And this woman who was broken, this woman who had obviously heard the teaching of Jesus at a different time, she put it all aside. She put the thoughts that was and the looks that was piercing her. She laid it down. She said, I'm broken. And I can't do this anymore. And so she laid it down. And so she goes to the feet of Jesus. And she's crying. She's broken. And as her tears are hitting his feet, she's noticing his feet hasn't been washed. So she begins to wipe his feet with her tears. And then she's looking and she has nothing to dry it off with. So what does she do? She lets her hair down. Now, in this custom, that was a very intimate thing. That was something that you never did in public as a woman. You never let your hair down. But she lets her hair down. And she dries his feet with her hair. And then she takes this perfume that, by the way, was for her profession. One drop at a time. One man at a time. But in this moment, she pours it all on the feet of Jesus. All. She leaves it all. All of her pride. All of everything she is. Her entire profession. Everything she knows. She's at this place of brokenness. And she lays it all at the feet of Jesus. And you have this Pharisee, Simon, who had it all together. He had it all together, right? And he totally missed it. This morning, really quick, I want us to look at the three different people in this story. The first one is the repented woman. The repented woman. She's broken. And she hears Jesus teaching at some point. If you look at the harmony of the Gospels, you know, we're in Luke, but the harmony of the Gospels go very well. And if you look at the story of Matthew, right before this, let's look at what Jesus preached in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. This is what Jesus said right before this point. He said, then Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, my teaching upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. How many of us just need rest for our souls? For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Now, in the harmony of the Gospels, Jesus had just got finished preaching this when he encounters this woman. So it's very possible that this woman heard Jesus say this. Come to me, all who are tired of trying to do it yourself. We talked about it last week. We go to these wells, right, to satisfy. We go to the well of me. We go to the well of relationships. We go to the well of the world. We go to the well of religion. We're searching for satisfaction. And all those wells leave us empty. And so what Jesus is preaching here, he's saying, when you're done with that, when you finally come to the end of yourself, then come to me, and once and for all, you will find rest for your souls. This woman probably heard this. And so she's broken. She said, I'm done playing games. I'm done caring what other people think about me. And I'm coming, brokenness, broken pieces and all, to the feet of my Lord and Savior. I'm done playing games. I'm all in. This perfume, expensive perfume I use for my profession, I'm all in. I'm all in. See, she was a repented woman who came to the end of herself. And Jesus even said it. Yeah, her sins are many, but her heart is right. Look at what William MacDonald says. He says, usually when something is broken, its value declines or appears altogether, or disappears altogether. Broken dishes, broken bottles, broken mirrors are generally scrapped, right? When something's broken, it's generally no good. We throw it away. We throw broken dishes away. Even a crack in a furniture or a tear in a cloth greatly reduces its resale value. But it isn't that way in the spiritual realm. That isn't how God looks at it. God puts a premium on broken things, especially broken people. See, in this culture and in our culture, when someone is broken, they're looked upon as weak. But when Jesus looks, he says, finally, now I can do something with this. Finally. Finally. See, we have it in our minds that church needs to be this place where we come and we have it all together. And we play the part and we look the part. But that's what Simon did, the Pharisee, the number two, the critical host. See, he was broken just as much as the woman. He was yearning for satisfaction just as much as the woman. She was looking for satisfaction in sin, in outward sin. He was looking for it in himself. How much he can accomplish. How much he can do. See, a Pharisee at this time, they would have had the entire Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, by the way, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, memorized before they were a teenager. Okay? He would have had memorized all 300 plus verses of the Old Testament that pointed to a Messiah coming. Now, don't miss this. 300 plus verses he had memorized about the coming of a Messiah, and he was sitting at his table and he missed it. He missed it. He had 300 verses memorized, and the Messiah is sitting right down to him, and he's just ready for this guy to get out of his house so he can go about his merry way. Guys, how many of us have bought into this lie that we're all broken? We have established that at the beginning of the series. We're all broken. But we've bought into this lie of creating this facade, of creating this appearance. I can't let people know I'm broken. I can't let people in. And when we've created that, we even keep God out. We even keep him out. Because we've bought into this idea that I'll put it together. I've been doing it on my own. And I'll just sprinkle God in the mix. We read this verse last week, but I felt it was so, applicable for here. 1 Peter 8, chapter 1, 18 through 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but the precious blood as a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We will never be redeemed by the stuff we accumulate. You're right? We'll never be redeemed by how much stuff we have. We will never be redeemed by what people think of us. We will never be redeemed by how much good works we can do. We will never be redeemed by what church we go to. We will only be redeemed by the precious blood of the spotless and unblemished lamb that was shed on the cross. That is the only thing that can redeem us. And in order to get to that place, we must get to a place of being broken. We must get to a place of being broken. Because the third person in this story is our forgiving Savior. He's our forgiving Savior. And here's the thing. He loves the Pharisee and he loves the sinner. He loves the prostitute. His love is the same for both. But the prostitute was willing to say, I need you. And the Pharisee, he didn't need Jesus because he had it all together. Have a glow stick. We all know what the purpose of a glow stick is, right? It's to glow. It's a stick that glows. But how does a glow stick work? The only way that this will ever serve its purpose is to break. I can have it, and it can look good. But until it's broken, until it's broken, it will never serve its purpose. You see, what's it do when it's broken? It lights up. We know that scripture tells us to be the light of the world, right? But what in our religious culture has created? How are we the light of the world? By having this appearance to everybody that we have it all together. It's completely contradictory to what Jesus is teaching. He said, no, you want to be the light of the world? Be broken. You want to light up? Quit putting on this facade. Quit putting on the games. You want to be the light of the world? Be willing to be broken. And that's when God can come in and he can shine through you. I've got a quick video and then we're going to close. Open our eyes and our hearts. How differently would the world around us be? See, because we're all broken. And for somehow, some way, we've convinced ourselves that we can't let that on. But we need to pray, God, give me your eyes, give me your ears, let me live out your truth. Not caring about putting on this religious facade of having it all together, but being willing to engage in the broken world around us by being willing to be broken first. I have a trick question for you, then we're going to wrap it up. In this story between the sinful woman and the Pharisee, who would you rather be? Who would you rather be? And listen, I told you at the beginning it was a trick question, right? Because most of us in this room, if you looked at our lives, we want both, don't we? Think about it. We want to come across as a Pharisee, like having it all together. We want to have that facade that, hey, look, I'm good. But we want to experience the love and grace of Christ too. And so most of us in this room, if we're honest, most, not all, but most of us in this room, if we're completely honest with ourselves, would say we're pursuing both. And it can't work that way. It can't work that way. Church is a place of healing. Church is a place of redemption. It's a place where we come and we don't have it all together. Guess what? I'm broken this morning, church. I'm hurting. And I don't want to have to come here because I'm the pastor and have it all together. I'm in pain. There are people in this room right now who are in pain. And we need a touch from the Lord. And we need to quit treating this place like a social club. And we need to come and lay our lives down just like that woman did. Come and lay our lives down at the foot of Jesus, forgetting about everything else. Forgetting about my profession, forgetting about what people are going to think of me, and come to the feet of Jesus saying, Lord, I need you. That is what church is. And when we're broken like that, some of you in here, you're not struggling like I am, and that's okay. But we also can't act like the Pharisee, like we have it all together either. Because then, in our pursuit of the redemptive work of the cross to the broken community around us, we come across as these people who those people can never obtain. I can't be like that. Well, guess what? We can't be like that either. It's just a show. So this morning, my question for us is for those of you in here who've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is the moment. This is the time to come before the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, for forgiveness of your sins. It's time we quit playing the games. It's time we quit putting on the mask. And it's time that we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I want to invite you to come this morning and pray with one of the pastors up front. And for those of us in here who do have salvation, my question, and please get to the heart of your of the matter. Let's get past the head to the heart. Are you like Simon? Monday through Saturday, are you like Simon, the Pharisee? And you have it all together. And God is trying to do a work in you. But just like this, until you're willing to be broken, is the point that He can shine. If this is you this morning, I want to ask you, don't leave this place unchanged. Let's leave our pride aside. And let's come to the feet, just like this woman. Let's come to the feet of Jesus. Let's stand and pray. Father, we praise You. We love You. We thank You. God, we need You this morning. God, we need You. We need Your touch. We need Your healing. God, we just need Your presence. God, move in a powerful way, we ask. God, meet us where we are. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.